we are recording.
Fantastic. All right, it's Monday, June 20 at 7:07 p.m., and could we have a flag salute, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And a roll call, madam.
Well, public notice first.
Oh, excuse me, you're right. This is the June 20, 2022 public meeting of the Planning Board of the Township of Clinton, County of Hundred, in the State of New Jersey. Adequate notice of this meeting has been given in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act, and that an annual notice was published in the Hundred County Democrat, and the notice of an agenda for this meeting was posted on the Township website, the bulletin boards at the front of the municipal building, the front door of the public safety building, and fax to the Hundred County Democrat, Express Times, Courier News, Hundred and Review, and the Star Ledger no later than the Friday prior to this meeting. Now it's roll call time.
Ms. Butcher?
Yes.
Mr. Glaser?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Ms. Johnson?
Present.
Ms. Kleinhans?
Here.
Mr. Lazarus?
Yes, here.
Mr. Millay?
Here. He is absent.
I'm not absent. I'm right here.
Oh.
Millay. I just sent me.
I jumped the gun.
You did. And Mr. Sumay.
Exactly.
Oh,
you're a beaver over there.
You have a quorum, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. I understand that the first item listed on the agenda, the resolution for the Chabad of Hunterdon County, is pulled. And
meeting minutes.
Oh, you know, I keep jumping ahead. Pardon me.
You got me jumping ahead.
Next item would be the approval of the April 4, 2022 meeting minutes. And are there any comments or edits or corrections or anything of that sort?
I've already made some.
And Sue did as well.
Okay.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
You got the motion in a second?
Yes. Okay, Mr. Glaser?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Ms. Johnson?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes.
Mr. Lazarus?
Yes.
And Mr. Millay?
Yes.
Motion carries.
All right. Now we can talk about the resolution for Chabad. That will not come up at this this meeting and will appear at a subsequent meeting in the future when they're finished. And item number G is the Master Plan Consistency Review. Should I read the title?
Yes, please.
Okay. Ordinance number something -2022.
Some clarification on the ordinance number?
It won't be until it's adopted.
Right.
An
ordinance
right now, right. That was introduced at first reading, sent here. Once it goes up there, it'll be the number.
An ordinance of the Township of Clinton in Hunterdon County, New Jersey, amending Chapter 165 Land Use Regulations of the Code of the Township of Clinton to expand the scope of the Township's waiver of site plan review process and authorize administrative approval of site plan waiver applications under certain circumstances. So, our planner, Mr. Behrens, is on.
And again, this is not a hearing, so we don't have to swear him in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, for the record, Todd Behrens, board planner with Burgess Associates. So the board has before it, again, this waiver of site plan ordinance, which reuses some original language and creates a new process whereby the administrative agent, and in this case would be the zoning officer, has certain authority to approve certain what we'll call minor improvements administratively. And to give an overview of what those improvements are, they include, bear with me while I just look that section up. Well, there are certain exemptions. I'll start with those. The following shall be exempt. Include subdivision or individual lot applications for detached one or two family. Okay. Replacement of previously approved outdoor mechanical equipment, replacement of previously approved fencing, replacement of previously approved signs. Well, that would be okay. It's the land component. And replacement of previously approved roof-mounted solar energy systems. And there's still the waiver of site plan review process that would come to the board under certain conditions whereby the applicant has to meet one of three criteria, including whether or not they've received prior site plan approval, whether or not the application involves normal repair or will not affect existing circulation, parking, and other site conditions. So, again, the effort here is to expand and enhance the township's existing waiver from site plan program and to allow the administrative officer to review and approve things as applicable under certain conditions. With respect to the master plan, the board's task in regard to reviewing development ordinances, they have to determine that it's not inconsistent with the master plan. And in this case, we took a look at the township's land use plan element, which does have a specific master plan goal, which is to continue land use policies that promote controlled development. And the land use plan also incorporates the purposes of the municipal land use law, which include purpose A, to encourage municipal action to guide the appropriate use or development of all lands in the state in a manner which will promote the public health, safety, morals, and general welfare, as well as purpose M, to encourage coordination of the various public and private procedures and activities shaping land development with a view of lessening the cost of such development and to the more efficient use of land. So based on that, it would be my opinion that the ordinance being proposed, or the modifications being proposed, are not just not inconsistent, but they're very much consistent with the township's master plan. And again, all of the uses that are permitted under this ordinance are essentially already permitted. It's just we're tweaking the administrative review process.
Understand.
So, for example, the application we had at the last meeting for the cell tower, well, that cell tower.
That's what we're wondering about. We're wondering if they're doing a cell tower upgrade, not brand new antennas, not a new co-location. If they're taking 3G antennas and make it 4, or taking 4G antennas and making it 5G, where does it fit in the ordinance? Does it fit in administrative, or does it fit in planning board site plan waiver?
I thought it would be replacement
technical
resistant.
Overview, the
criteria is the same, so it would be administrative. So if Denise can make determination meets the criteria, she could approve it.
But what's the criteria
for cell tower? The same criteria. This would be the insignificant. Mm-hmm. This would be number one. To secure previous site plan approval under the terms of the title of proposal, will have an insignificant.
Oh, close.
Is that the existing criteria?
I would also think it would be replacement of the equipment.
Normal replacement and maintenance.
Yeah, I could do that one too. Yeah. A lot of times it could be all three. The criteria is the same.
Wait, which?
Denise, this is what they're
saying. What are we reading?
165-36.2.
Yes.
Okay.
So, the administrative officer or the planning board, as appropriate, that's what we have to determine, which is appropriate,
yep,
may waive the requirement for site plan review in part or in its entirety if the proposed development does not require any new variances or alter any existing variance, and if it, one. So if there's a prior site plan approval and the proposed development will have an insignificant impact, mm-hmm, or it involves normal repair, maintenance, or replacement. So let's assume that the cell tower, that the upgrade from 4G to 5G fits within either one or two.
Right.
How do you know what's the appropriate? Because number one says the administrative officer or the planning board as appropriate. Who determines which one is appropriate? That's what we're asking.
Yeah, but they should also provide adequate documentation where Denise can say this is net new or it's not.
Correct, but that's the easy part. The harder part is how
the way I've thought about it is that it would be a default. If it meets those, it's a default yes on the part. The screening. But the screening as appropriate. The zoning officer is the screening person for this.
So as appropriate to be determined by the zoning officer.
That's the way.
Okay, yeah. So guess what? Let's record.
Whether or not my variance is
normal. I think it says
that
down C, though, John.
You think it says where?
Number C, down below. So
you're looking at the complete application, administrative officer in consultation with a bunch of other professionals,
right,
will determine whether it meets 36.2A.
So A is the criteria.
Applications meaning those criteria may be approved administratively.
Yep.
If the administrative officer is unable to determine, that's how it is.
So if you don't feel comfortable determining Right. And it's not the zoning officer. It's the
administrative officer.
That it's an administrative approval. It's not. Okay. So, if you feel comfortable after consulting with whoever you want to consult with, then you could do it.
So, in the case of the water tower, where you have six cell antennas, and they're going to replace them with three smaller cell antennas.
Well, that's an easy one. That's a no-brainer.
Yeah, that's, you know, maybe you call Larry, the engineer, and say, what do you think? If they went 6 5-foot high to 6 7-feet high,
we'll talk to people.
But the fault is, if the administrative officer says, I'm not so sure that's insignificant, then she says, I can't decide. You'll have to be escrow and have to go to the board. So the criteria is the same. It's just a matter of the judgment.
Right.
I'm not comfortable. Go to the board.
It's saying that the authority having jurisdiction, we were requesting to waive it, so long as it does not require any net new variances at all.
When is it going to be on for?
Actually, the application, well, that's the other thing. I wanted to know if it fit because it's a waiver, so it does, a waiver of site plan he submitted for the board.
Right.
And the same attorney who was here for the last one, Ed Purcell.
He's trying to make a point.
Right. So what he did was he applied for two separate ones. He applied for a zoning permit for the one that he just came in front of the board, and I denied it. So he sent in an appeal. And I said, well, instead of sending in an application for an appeal, the costs for that are higher. Why don't you just go through the waiver? And he said, I'm doing both. So he did. Then he did the same thing for the next one. Okay.
So if you can list the waivers first, right, and they're granted, then it makes the appeal move.
Exactly.
Right.
Well, yes, definitely. So my question is, for this next one, I guess I'm going to need, it was an application to the board that has already been received as a board application. Are we going to review it administratively?
Put it this way. This thing has to be, when is this thing?
So it would be adopted if it passes, which I would hope it does, on this Wednesday. But then it has to sit on 21 days, however, in the stopple. So mid-July.
I think it's 20 days first.
Yeah, so let's say mid-July-ish.
Call up Ed and tell him.
Wait.
Okay.
I just want the office definition of administrative officer.
Yeah,
the clerk will allow the administrative officer to approve this. Does he want to go ahead with the thing, or does he want to wait till that goes into effect? Now, knowing Ed, he might say.
Yeah, the administrative officer definition.
We'll find out. Then
includes
if that happens,
the clerk on the plane.
Don't you think, to some degree, cell towers are a special case given the FCC and the state regulations?
But if they want to add another 20 feet to the cell tower, I think.
Right.
Yeah, but if the FCC won't get
involved. If the antenna is moving from 4 foot to 5 foot tall or vice versa on a 140-foot tower,
he's taking the position, before this ordinance is adopted, he's taking the position that administrative approval is required. It's not.
Well, I know.
It's up to the town whether they want to do administrative or planning board. I just want her to call Ed and tell him, hey, Ed.
I circled back from that legal point to making Denise feel comfortable in terms of the waiver, the generic waiver process as it applies to cell towers, simply because they're forever changing antennas.
Right.
And Lord knows, they may change the frequency for the 5G, depending upon reception and all that sort of stuff. So the reason why, forgive me, I didn't read the council version of this, but the reason why at least the planning board chair was part of the signatories to the waiver was to get a little advice and also some protection. You're not out there by yourself making something where the board comes and, kind of throws up at the next meeting.
Looks like the cellular industry is always pushing.
Right.
So the next thing is pushing is now when they go to 5G because the area is much smaller.
Mm-hmm.
Well, depending on the bandwidth they use. That city's limited bandwidth, yes.
Let's, for the purposes of my hypothetical,
mm-hmm.
it's less of a service area, so they need more of them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And now, and they have to put them on either existing structures
right.
or they have to erect the structure.
Right.
They're now also taking the position that that has to be approved administratively.
Well, terrific, but that doesn't fit our ordinance line.
And we
has
have,
it.
I have on my to-do list with Lucille, the small cell stuff.
Right. So,
okay, yeah, and I am not knowledgeable about that.
Right. So, those are,
okay.
You tell them, either the minor site plan approval,
right.
and if he yips and yaps, which he will, then you tell him he can either call or you can say that, you know, they're considering doing a mini cell thing. Does he want to wait or does he want to do it now?
Oh, that could be forever. Does he have one?
Don't
pending?
Tell him that.
Does he have one pending?
Not yet.
No, not for mini cell.
Yeah.
Well,
no, this is the one on the tree, the bottle brush that you call it.
Yeah.
There is pending legislation for the small cell or small node mm-hmm. infrastructure that's expected to be adopted this year by the state legislature, and that okay. effectively allows small cell facilities within the right-of-way, primarily on top mm-hmm. of existing poles or on new poles.
Mm-hmm.
They're supposed to be disguised, but a lot of towns have gotten ahead of that, one, because the wireless companies already installing this infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have a procedure in place, you may not have as much control. The alternative is you could wait until the state does its thing and, you know, adopts the legislation and then react based on that. But it seems like it is something that is coming, and it's different from the wireless technologies that we currently regulate on private and public.
So the technology, though, for the small cell, it has to do with the certain bandwidth where you need density. So in some township, for instance, you might do it in the village of Annandale where you've got some density. Other areas, you need the longer range, so it's back to the more traditional antennas.
Right.
Has anyone asked Tom if he thinks that this ordinance is consistent or inconsistent?
You just said it was consistent.
About 15 minutes ago.
Okay.
You're still absent.
Well, yeah, but wait, but to answer your question, I don't think they did ask. He just said it.
Wow. I anticipated the
thing. Okay. He answered when he said it. Yeah. The hair has so split.
Yes.
You
and my boss.
What are the questions that remain and how do we move forward?
I think we're good.
Yep.
I would concur.
Yeah, so if someone makes a motion to...
That it's consistent.
That it's consistent with the master plan, or at least not inconsistent with the master plan, whichever one of those you want to
go for.
He said
consistent.
I think it goes...
Or not inconsistent.
Well, that's
what... Well, he said it was all the way consistent.
I'll make the motion that it's consistent with the master plan of the Township of Clinton.
I just have one quick question. It's not really so much about the process itself, but the use case. How much forbearance are we expecting out of this? Because we're going through the waiver process, so hopefully we have some sort of, okay, maybe this will trim application for 1 through 10, 15%. What is our expectation?
Well, put it this way.
I'm just curious. Right.
How many site plan waiver applications?
I didn't remember. Well, Denise had a file where she had all the
Yeah, she had all
I remember that file, Denise.
It was every year.
5 or 10.
Yeah, this is a longer period. There's
probably.
And it's actually less about keeping them from coming here for us as it is to keep them from having to go through the added cost and expense.
Yes.
To ease them to have an attorney.
Right.
And the time.
And the time.
Mm-hmm.
Schedule, yeah.
Sure.
They save professional fees and time. It's a 30-day shot clock.
But so what is the application fee on this? Is it $200? Or 300?
No, it's the same as the current application. I think it's 250 is the current fee.
No, nothing's 250.
It's whatever the current fee is.
200. So the reason I ask that, and there's no escrow, what if I need to go to a professional? How does that professional get paid?
But the idea is, if you think it's going to require a lot of professional time, probably it's not insignificant. Probably needs to go to the board, and you're going to say, I can't rule on this one.
If it's more than a 5-minute phone call,
is that wait, if it's going to require that much professional time, in what ways can we mitigate that professional time that's needed when it comes back to us?
If it takes that much professional time, what Bill's suggesting, and I agree with him, that maybe it does belong that way.
If there's that many questions, it can't be so insignificant that the board shouldn't. It's sort of the way we viewed this. Yeah. It's the bog standard ones that we've encountered. We all look at each other and say, gosh, they really shouldn't have had to come here.
Yeah,
those every once in a while. Right, so yeah.
And I think our expectation
is upon sanctuary parkers here when they come here. The point is to make them not have to come here.
So it sounds very, like the use case you're targeting sounds very narrow.
It would be, and I think over time it might emerge that, you know, maybe 5 or 10 years ago we would have said, oh, cell phones are always going to come here, and cell phone towers. Now we'd say, we know a lot about cell phone towers. It's 4G to 5G. They're changing the figure to tens. They don't need to come here anymore. So I think it will sort of evolve over time. But there'll be use cases that, yeah, that's it too, but we have done and dusted.
The use case, the money in the use case.
Yeah.
It should obviate the need for anybody. Virtually all previous waivers of site plan review are going to fit this criteria, in my estimation. I think there's maybe one or two that won't. And the cost factor is a reduction by a factor of 10. It's an order of magnitude.
It's just thinking about how many times we've sat here and been done in about 5 minutes with the app.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's great.
Yeah.
So this is a good accomplishment, right?
For sure.
Yeah.
Faster, applicants, yeah. Cheaper, and equally stringent.
And one that's, like, worth, I don't know, it's positive marketing.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And that's actually where it started, Sandra. It started with the applicant that came and said, boy, I shouldn't have to come and do this. And it was, what's his face? From LP, right?
It's been so long.
Yeah, they want to come back again, too.
Well, they had another
reason. Oh, my God. I've heard that many times.
Well, no one ever wants to spend any money. They want to spend any money. They want no zoning. That's different.
Absolutely.
And a lot of the time, they're not wrong.
Certain things, it's like, you know, it's going to get approved.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So can someone make that motion?
I'll make the motion again. That we
second. All right. And I need a second.
I'm sorry.
John just seconded.
John made the motion.
John Higgins.
John Higgins. Okay, so there's too many people talking. Okay.
Yeah.
Who seconded it?
Another John.
The other John.
John Lazarus.
Says John.
Okay. All right. Ms. Butcher?
Yes.
Mr. Glaser?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Ms. Johnson?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhans?
I would say yes with the provision that on page 7 you make a correction.
Oh, yes, you had a typo.
A typo correction. And the word and between holding and shell under the number 7.
Wait, on page 7 or number 7?
It's on page 7, number 7.
It's a different format.
It's the top of the page.
Mm-hmm. For, the holding shell.
Provision of such holding and shall not reflect the validity of the remaining paragraphs.
Okay, we're not with you. Can you pass yours down?
Just the top of the last page. The top line.
Holding.
It depends on what it prints out differently, John.
So it is
paragraph seven.
The last sentence of section 7.
And shall not affect.
And shall not affect. It's an important point. Yeah, it could be the and.
Yep.
Legally, you can join anyone.
Oh, party. Please, you don't have to tell me. I got this one guy.
I know you do.
No, not on this board. I have this one guy in Raritan Township who's constantly...
You're on the record now.
I understand. I'm going to put right there. correcting my comments. And I keep on explaining to him that it means something when you move one of those commas. It might not be proper English, but I have the commas there. Yeah. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it matters.
A party to a blindsided end. Continue on.
And also, I don't know if you're going to, are you going to review the checklist separately or not?
Oh, yeah, we didn't look at the checklist.
Yeah, the answer to that question is yes, they have to review the checklist also.
But it's combined, I believe.
It's one ordinance.
It's an exhibit.
It's just a minor thing, but it's a very error.
Seven,
the last two words of the checklist on page 3.
That's a doozy. I don't know how that one got in there.
It should be there instead of there.
Yeah.
Okay. It's just a typo.
Yeah. Well, you corrected that.
I printed.
Oh, yeah.
She sent it. So I printed one that she sent.
Have higher knowledge.
You're going to blame Trishka.
All right, you got
this. So, one question though. If Kevin is going to sign this,
yes.
does he have to formally review it, or can I tell him, okay, I reviewed it, and I think it's...
She signs it first, right?
She signs it first, and tell me if this is legal or not, John. I'm very used to, in business, people signing in place of yours truly, if you have a proper substantive conversation on the telephone.
But you know what? There's no need for that anymore. She signs it, and she scans it, and sends it to him.
Yeah. All right, fair.
And he signs it and scans it back. Yeah. Okay. Better that way.
No
misunderstandings.
But this way, if he has a question about it, then before it's finalized, and he says, you know, I really don't feel comfortable. I want to see this at my
work.
Can
tell you.
Yeah,
right.
Working with Kevin, questions.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, so that's good.
And 10 years from now, or 15 years from now, or whenever, and there's a new planning board administrator, and they're approving everything willy-nilly, planning board chairs got the opportunity to say, whoa, this isn't what this is for.
So from planning board perspective, we talked about this will go through the process, Denise will issue a letter to the applicants. We did talk about that letter being copied to the planning board, so we know that these waivers are granted, like, so there's some documentation. Do we need to put that in a rule or something like that, or just it's a process? We just, communication, I issued these as a secretary report.
In reports.
So it's just a report, it's not an agenda report. I issued four waivers as well. Tell us what they are.
Like an administrative report. Yeah.
And
make
those
things.
But it'd
be good to just advise us.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. By the way, just came in.
I got to give a report. It's being very important for the legislative history of a cell phone tower. Later, if they come for a big change, you can say, here was the little changes.
That make a big change?
Yeah. Well, if they increase height by 12 feet, they have definite
administrative waiver report. Just like you have on the agenda.
Under
reports. Yeah, reports from council, report from ordinance subject, report from environmental.
Exactly.
Report from administrative waivers.
Yeah.
Next steps?
We've already got a motion in the second, so.
We got the vote, except Sue had a condition on it.
Oh, right.
And I would think Denise could advise Carla, clerk of the township, on those typos.
Somebody else has proceeds.
So I still have two more.
Right. Well, okay.
Mr. Lazarus?
Yes.
And Mr. Millay?
Oh, yes.
All right.
The motion carries.
It would be yes.
The record for the longest motion and the shortest thing.
Exactly.
I'd like to thank Bill and Don for their hard work on this over the last year. I know it's been a process, but I think it'll yield results. And I think Denise is happy for her vast new power.
We still haven't decided who the administrative officer is.
It's you.
It says the clerk of the planning board.
Oh, okay.
The board secretary, not the zoning officer.
Yeah.
Or the planning board.
So, okay. So this is not a zoning.
Correct.
Got it.
The planning, correct.
Right. And again, the way I've always thought about it is the planning board is kind of delegating some of our powers and authorities
to
you,
like,
as the administrator.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Any questions, Denise? That was confusing.
Well, I've kind of been involved in the process all along, but the cell tower was one thing, and I actually have another application. Well, she didn't submit the application yet, but I have someone waiting for this to be approved because she was going to need to come to the board. And there's something very minor, and I said at 1322 here. So I explained
wait, wait
it.
Days
you wait a month or so. Basically, they need a generator.
Yeah.
So.
All right.
Well,
what happens?
Too late now. We voted.
Yep.
Good to ask.
All right.
Oh, I always do. And if I don't have an answer, I know who to ask.
You know the phone numbers.
It's been an extensive process. So
okay. So we are up to reports. Is the report from
council?
Yep,
you have to review an approval
of vouchers. I'm like, I don't know what it is.
You're out of practice.
It's my old sluggers.
I'm with you, pal. All right, new business, and that would be the review and approval of vouchers, which I've actually reviewed, and except for some oldies from the landscaper from December,
And he just submitted those.
Yeah, that's the only thing that looked odd to me. So, for whatever that's worth, given the way I've conducted the meeting tonight, I'm fine with them.
Is that a motion?
Motion to approve.
I'll make the motion.
Okay, and then Sue was second?
Sue was second.
Okay.
Yes.
And, okay. Ms. Butcher? Mr. Glaser?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Ms. Johnson?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes.
Mr. Lazarus?
Yes.
And Mr. Millett?
Also yes.
Okay. And I think we should probably note that there is no one from the public.
That's a good idea.
Thank you.
Yeah. At start and at present state, no members of the public.
We also report that the whole stack of agendas is a waste of paper because there's no members of the public.
Whole floor is filled.
Now we're up to reports.
Council, we just kicked this over, this ordinance over here. We'll get it back on Wednesday.
We
will pass it. Hopefully we'll have some DPW hires on the agenda for Wednesday. Provided yours truly figures out fingerprinting.
How many DPW hires do we have?
One full-time and one seasonal.
But how many do we have? So
I have no idea. It's over a dozen.
The one is a replacement for one of the last, the two seasonal guys.
We've got somebody on who's out for an extended period of time. So
that's in retirement too, actually.
Just last year, and I think we already replaced that person. Okay. Retirement from DPW.
I just didn't understand what he said.
It was the beer that muffled it.
Sorry.
I'm trying to think what else.
There's one other little thing. It's not really from council. The Highlands approved the Highlands Centers for Annandale and Route 31 on Friday. Tom is the author, and Tom and John are the author of the
But that's from council because the planning board didn't send that to council.
Yeah, but
it didn't happen in the council meeting, that's all.
I guess, Brian.
The council asked you to attend.
But it's really Congress.
Right. You attended at their behest.
Yes, look at the agenda. It's pretty light. The upcoming agenda is pretty light. I can tell you this is a preview of what council will hear from me on Wednesday. We should have scheduled for August mill and pave of portion of Petticoat and Allerton Road.
Old Allerton
is a county road.
Is that the upper part of Petticoat?
It is the upper part. The lower part we are working on a design right now because that is a rebuild construction.
Stage of pay for that since it serves as prison.
It's closed, so I don't really know how that's going to help.
It's totally 100% closed.
There's nobody in it.
Is that the stretch from
part of COVID was emptying prisons?
Is there another agenda?
Okay.
They had another problem there that held
it.
From East Main South, just an FYI, lots of this.
East Main South is the portion we're going to be doing the reconstruction.
Okay. All I'm saying is a bunch of us now, just as we come down that little hill and the road straightens out, a bunch of us just straddle the center line because that's the part of the road you can do this feel it on and not rattle your teeth. So it's good you're doing that.
So that'll be coming, hopefully this year.
The ordinance subcommittee, we've chatted. We're tackling a few things. Bill's the chair.
New definition of dwelling we talked about. We're talking about zone-based business stuff. I think that's a little bit of a longer lead time.
Yeah.
The dwelling thing will get done pretty quickly. Yeah. That's a pretty tactical, easy one. Home-based business. And we did talk about through lots. We have, I think, language we like.
Mm-hmm. Through prevailing lots, peninsula lots, island lots, and corner lots.
Oh,
so that'll take a little more crafting of what we'll do, but that's the cleanup items we had.
Just a little background. There's a group of towns that get together along the ones that lie along the highway 78 and 22, from Reddington all the way out to the river. And we had some discussions last year. I attend in Brian's stead. I sort of started the group. We were looking for things to do, things to improve, and one of the ideas was with the additional work at home that is pretty much, I don't know, it's pretty much inculcated or embedded in a lot of businesses now, that it could make sense to take a good look at the what the ordinances are along the corridor. And they were, from ours was probably the most permissive. Clinton Town was the least permissive and most detailed. And
can you confirm for 1 second, just back up, you said
home-based businesses is not from home.
In town. Right. Are people working from home or businesses that have changed their operational model?
Home-based businesses.
The idea is that, you know, folks that still have day jobs and commute to places are going to be commuting less often, and they also may want to do different things at home more frequently than they've done in the past.
Yeah, and it doesn't capture remote work. Remote work is
separate. Remote work is just you in your office.
People are going to work 3 days in the office, 2 days at home.
The idea is that, you know, maybe people would be more motivated.
He didn't do it justice with... He's talking about a home-based business, like
baking
stuff and selling it, like doing repairs, doing the handicraft, small business.
Professionals, doctors.
I'm sorry, I presume, and I do this often, I presume people are aware of more of our ordinances than just because I've been around for so long. And we do have a section talking about home-based businesses, and as John described, there are a few of them outlined there, and in the current environment, there's no permits, for instance. You're allowed 500 square feet or up to 25% of the house's floor area to do various things. So anyway, the county applied for funding from the Highlands. They produced a study, and we just looked at that. Brian was at the meeting where the preliminary results were presented, and you know, we talked a little bit about it earlier tonight, so when the final report is out, you know, that'll help us perhaps craft some improvements to our current language. So hopefully it'll make, to some degree, the essence of this committee is to make the county more attractive for businesses in general, and the secondary effect of that would be a preservation of home equity, home values, by allowing more people to do more stuff at home in our communities. So, anyway, that report led to this discussion, and we're going to be taking a good look at what we do allow and how we allow certain things to happen in our community at home. I guess the other thing that triggered it, which Denise pointed out, up until October of last year, New Jersey was one of only... For a long time, we were one of only two states that did not allow cottage baking, is the technical term for it. Oregon was the other. Oregon approved that a few years ago, and then in October, New Jersey finally knuckled under and allowed people to bake things, make food at home, basically, for public sale in various venues. So that's a home business we hadn't really thought of too much. And the state had not allowed, so we didn't have cause to really think about it too much. So again, that's.
And if you look in our ordinance, there's two sections.
Yep.
One of them is professional offices, doctor, dentist, lawyer, you know, your
CPA.
Mm-hmm. And the other one is this home-based business, including. Doesn't say including but not limited to.
Yeah.
Doesn't say including but limited to. It says including, and it lists dressmaking. Radio repair.
Yeah, print out
other small businesses billing out of the mailing address from their own home.
Handicraft and something else, but it only lists four things.
Right.
Yeah. And you have all these other things nowadays, and that's what they're looking at. And they're looking at...
I highlighted it.
Okay, what's the downside? Well, the downside primarily would be too many customers, traffic on residential street. So they're looking at maybe having different classes of, if you have less than five customers coming to the house per day for something, maybe you don't even need a permit. If you have up to 10, maybe you need a permit. If you have like more than 10, up to 15 people coming a day, maybe you have to come to the planning board. They're looking at all sorts of stuff like that. Because they don't want the other residents on the street to have any more nuisance effect.
Yeah. But to what level of tolerance does this planning board feel that if 15 people are coming to some small businesses home to keep their house alive?
That's what you guys are going to have to determine.
Yeah. And to some degree, like in a lot of ordinances, I think the neighbors police that, especially some zoning ordinances.
Well, that, I mean, but something that's extensive
is that
the proposed
to one. Set the standard. You guys are going to have to make judgment calls to and set the standards on different categories.
That sort of thing would come
but
here.
They haven't, the discussion has started.
I would say off and on the record that most of these home-based businesses have their lion's share online, whether they tell you it or not. Mm-hmm.
Right.
They do.
But guess what?
Just be mindful when they come and say, you know, we have 15 people.
Well, and we have a neighbor who has recently complained about his neighbor across the street that seems to have some type of online business, and they
the delivery trucks.
The delivery trucks.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Coming picking up during the day.
Pickups, not drop-offs.
Right.
Yeah.
And if we've all looked
at and drop-offs. This one gets drop-offs of pellets.
Right.
Oh, in pellets.
Oh, that's not it's a super Amazon buyer.
So that's what you guys have to look forward to in the coming.
We got to guard the table residential zone, but allow some flexibility.
What is it with New Jersey and Oregon, the only states that have mandatory full serve, and the only states that ban cottage baking? Was it?
Yes, isn't that something?
It's weird.
Those are the two states that have mandatory, right?
I think Oregon relaxed theirs in rural parts of the state. But,
Yes.
Yeah, I wouldn't think that we have much in common with
for this.
Gas and the baking, I don't get it.
Yep. And a report from the Environmental Commission.
That'd be Kevin, right?
No, I think it's Andrew.
We had there was a meeting on the 2nd of June. Not too much cover there. It was more a slightly brainstorming meeting, just talking about lots of different things like a air quality flag program. It was an idea that was just being discussed at the meeting of a few voices saying that it would be a good idea to explore that, to hawk out different places in the township to have different levels of air quality. Is it mostly based on accentualized markers, like monument markers of two places in the town? I feel like we haven't gotten to any level of detail. It's more like just the hypothetical idea, which I have heard of it before, but I don't know if that sort of like kind of makes me think of like the blue band flags for EU beaches, where it's high quality of cleanliness. I'm not sure, but I think that's one idea that's being floated. And then there was talk of a cleanup exercise in Beaverbrook. There's an EV car show that's coming up on the 9th of July, which appears to conflict with...
No, it was actually done on purpose.
Yeah, I emailed Alex in the meantime. She didn't know that. It seems hard to think that it would have been...
Yeah, no, it was done on purpose.
Denise is correct. They wanted to try to have that car show during community day.
Which is good, because you're going to get some cross-fertilization.
Yeah, so they want... They settled on the
So it's just to showcase, vehicles, just initiatives around, green measures.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been to one of these EV car shows, so I don't know.
There's something on the website for it.
I don't know.
That's how we were talking about before. I was asking Sandra about it.
I think this might be the first one, because recall this being...
It is, and the real impetus behind it would be quite down to nuts and bolts. Is that he gets points for the region's efforts to get sustainable Jersey certification.
So that's good.
Worthy cause.
Are we marketing that?
Yes, it's on the website. We sent out email blast. And they sent it on Facebook. Same thing.
Are we looking at putting any charging stations?
We've looked at it in a couple places. Mario has looked at Mario's looked at some different grants. We talked about doing it potentially at Bug Park.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
But there were some issues with doing it at Bug.
Okay.
There are certain requirements.
One thing also, we don't have lights at Bug Park.
That's part of the problem. And electricity. So it's not just the cost of putting in the EV, it's also the cost of running the electricity and then all the infrastructure. And it didn't pan out.
Nothing yet.
I'll just quickly circle back to the ordinance committee since you raised the EV thing. Bill and I attended one session that Go-Hunted in and some state agencies in the county put on for a model ordinance. There's another one coming up in, is it next week? So sooner or later, I think we're going to want to adopt a model ordinance for EVs. Yeah. So, and Sandra, did you have anything else?
No, that was it. It was, like I said, just more of a brainstorm on various sort of things and kind of soliciting ideas for a volunteer program, traditional program initiatives for coming year for the commission.
In that case, we're at that point.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed or abstaining? Thank you.
Thank you.
A crested blue flycatcher.
Okie dokie.